God. Galatians chapter 6 this morning. Galatians chapter 6, going to be looking at verse 7 through verse 9. Galatians chapter 6. And through this month here, I'm going to be looking at our theme for this year, Sow Bountifully, Reap Bountifully. And we're going to be starting, Lord willing, a new series the week after Easter Sunday. So there in April, we'll be starting a new series. But this month, I want to take just a few weeks here and look at our theme. But Galatians chapter 6 and verse 7 through 9. Notice what the Bible says here. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for this day. I thank you for your word. I thank you for the promises in your word. Lord, I thank you for this faithful group of people and, Lord, just the way that you're working in many different individuals' lives and families and, Lord, through the church as a whole. Lord, you're doing great things, and I'm so thankful for that. But, Lord, I pray that you would help us to see this morning that the principle, Lord, of sowing and reaping is true. And I pray, dear God, that we would follow you, that we would follow your word, and that we would see that we need to be sowing good things so that we can reap good things. Lord, I thank you for your faithfulness to us. Lord, I pray if there's anyone here today that is not saved, I pray that they would trust you as their Savior today, that they would see that that's the first step in sowing good seed. And Lord, I pray that you would just touch their hearts, that they would trust you as their personal Savior. Lord, be with us throughout this message. I pray that our ears and our eyes and our hearts would be pointed towards you. Lord, I know there's some that cannot be with us this morning due to some health concerns and health reasons. And Lord, I pray that you would just touch their bodies today. I pray that they'd be blessed by the live stream and help us, Lord, to uphold them in prayer. Be with our church family. Lord, we thank you for all of these things, and we'll give you the glory and the honor. We ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, this passage that we just read, of course, as you saw through those verses there, it's directly associated with our theme this year, sow bountifully, reap bountifully. Now, oftentimes when we think of sowing and reaping, we will find ourselves in the mindset of putting a seed into the ground and then later on, of course, seeing that seed sprout and seeing it push out of the ground there. And then a little bit later, we're going to start seeing some fruit from that. Whatever we've planted, we expect for that to grow. In every word that we say, in every action that we carry out, everything that we do, understand that word, that action, that tone, whatever it may be, the decision that we make, it is setting a course for our life. That's what it's doing. If I say a certain thing to a certain individual, it is setting on a course. It's setting on course some things for my life and then also the hearer as well. We see that what we say is going to be directly related, if you will, to what is going to happen. So what course do you want to be set on? What path do you want to have in life? Which way do you want your life to go? Which way do you want your children's lives to go and ones that are patterning their lives after you? How do you want that to turn out? So I want to look at this principle this morning, if you will, and preach a message entitled, I will reap what I sow. I will. There's no question there. We would all, as independent fundamental Baptists, we would all stand up and praise the Lord for the promise in God's word that says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. We say that's a promise from God. I've called upon God. I'm going to heaven. There's nothing anybody can do about that. You can't jump out of the hand of God. I'm saved and I'm on my way to heaven. And we would say, praise the Lord for that. But then we come to a passage like this when it says, for he that soweth of his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. And we say, but I don't want to agree with that promise there. Too often we're guilty of going through our life just doing what we want to do, saying the things we want to say, living the way we want to live, having the fun that we want to have, we would say, but yet we don't want to reap the repercussions of that. But it's going to happen. The Bible says that if we sow to the flesh, we're going to reap of that. We're going to reap corruption. But it doesn't leave us there. It says, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. We need to realize that we will reap what we sow. But, you know, it's important for me and it's important for you to see these words on this page and see them in the way that it comes to our life. I shouldn't be worried about what someone else is going to be reaping. Yes, I should do what I can to teach the Word of God and preach the Word of God, but what they reap in their life is it's directly related to what they've done. I need to ensure that I'm patterning my life after the Scriptures because I will reap what I sow. I will reap corruption if I sow to the flesh. I will reap life everlasting and the grace of God in my life if I'm sowing to the Spirit. I will. I need to ensure that I'm following the Lord. Notice, first of all, this morning, the surety of reaping. It's going to happen. Look at verse 7 of our passage. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. You know, there are certain things that we say are for sure. When you look at science and scientists and the things that they say, they've got different terms that they'll use. And when it's something that is sure, when it's something that is solid, when it's something that is true, it's proven itself over and over again, they will say that it is the law of, and they'll say that's what's going to happen because it is this law. The second law of thermodynamics is also known as the law of decay. Everything breaks down. If you don't think everything breaks down, just listen to your knees and your back when you get out of bed in the morning. You'll find out everything breaks down. Cars break down. It doesn't matter the make or anything like that. Now, some would say, well, that one there is going to break down more often. Well, that's your prerogative. You can think that, amen. But everything breaks down. You can build a beautiful house. What's going to happen after the weather gets a hold of that house? It's going to start breaking down. It's going to happen. Everything breaks down. Everything is falling apart little by little. It's getting worse. It's not getting better. You know, a lot of scientists are doing all they can to disprove that law because it goes against this thing called evolution that they're trying to teach today. They try to say that it's not really falling apart, but we know from the world that we live in, everything is falling apart. We like things that are sure. When someone is when they're investing their money, wise investors, they're going to look for investments that have a long track record of returns. Why is that? Because it's proven to work. Because it's something in their mind. It is sure. When we're shopping for a car, we look up reviews and statistics and all of those because we want to buy a car that's going to last. We want things that are sure. However, when it comes to this law, when it comes to this principle, when it comes to this truth, we don't want that to be true. We don't want it to work this way in our lives because we know most of the time, if we're honest with ourselves and honest before the Lord today, we know that most of the time we're not sowing to the Spirit. We're sowing to the flesh. Oh, I want other things to last and I want those laws to be true, but when it comes to this, I want to live the way that I think is best. I want to have the fun that my flesh wants to have. I want to say the things and do the things and live this certain way, but I don't want to reap the repercussions of that. I want to sow to the flesh, but I don't want to reap the corruption there. That's how we live. But one of the things that we as believers cling to are the promises of the Bible. We would say, well, the Bible says it, therefore it is true, and we can cling to God's promise that his word will never pass away. We cling to the promise that God's grace is sufficient for us. He says that my strength is made perfect in weakness. We can cling to the promise that God has inspired and preserved his word, and we can believe what it says. And to all of those things, we say, I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful for the word of God. I'm thankful that I have a copy of it that I can own. And in most of our houses, we've got all kinds of copies of the Word of God. Maybe a whole shelf on our bookshelf of different Bibles. Maybe we had one when we were a child and we still have that copy. Maybe we had another one that we wore out. We still have that copy all the way down. And we've got all of these copies of the Word of God. And we say, praise the Lord for that. Praise the Lord for my Bible. But then we read this verse and other verses, and we don't want to read them with the same intensity as we do those other things. I want to stand up and say, praise the Lord for God's grace, but I don't want to stand up and say, praise the Lord that he promised that if I sow to the flesh, I'm going to reap corruption. I praise the Lord that God's word is true. Well, I'm not going to study this verse here out because I may hear something that I don't want to hear. Why read the Bible if we're not going to allow it to change our lives? This is a warning from God here this morning. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Don't be deceived otherwise. Understand, God's word is true. And if we sow to the flesh, we're going to reap corruption. We don't want a preacher to touch on sin. We don't want to read about these things that have a negative possibility. We don't want to hear about that. We only want to hear about what God's love says and how we are all good people, and then we can go home. But we are instructed to study the Word of God and commanded to show ourselves approved unto God. How are we going to do that? By realizing God's Word is true, and there are only two things we can sow to. We can either sow to the Spirit or we're sowing to the flesh. It's one or the other. As the Bible says, a man cannot serve two masters. You can't be serving both of them at the same time. And this truth here of sowing and reaping, it applies to every area of life. You know, we like to equate it to the agricultural realm, if you will. If you plant corn, you're going to reap corn. We know that to be true. If you plant cotton, then you will reap cotton. There has never been a time at which someone planted an apple seed, and when the tree came up, there were beautiful peaches on the tree. It didn't happen. Why? Because what you sow is what you're going to reap. But boy, we like to sow in all of these worldly things, but we want to reap God's blessing in our lives later on in life. It's not going to happen. We must understand if we sow to the flesh, then we're going to reap corruption. But if we sow to the Spirit, then it says, shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. Sometimes we're guilty of thinking that we can get far enough away from the seed that we planted that we won't have to reap that any longer. But God's word is true, and we will reap what we sow. Remember, all the way back in the beginning of the year, I was preaching a message on our theme here, and I challenged us to look at our life as a plot of land. Look at that section there, that square or that rectangle, whatever it may be, of land, and say, this is my life. I'm responsible for what I plant in this life, and that what I plant is going to be what I reap. And I challenged us in that way. But I think too often what we are guilty of is thinking that, well, if I plant this here, then by the time it starts to bear fruit, I'll be far enough away from that. No, it's still planted in your life. Doesn't matter how big the plot of land may be, that fruit's going to come up. Why? Because that's the seed that was planted. because that is the seed that we put in the ground. God's word is true. We are going to reap what we sow. You know, over 2,000 years ago, there was wheat that was planted in and around the pyramids. You know what's still growing in and around the pyramids? Wheat. You walk in there, in different places where the sunlight comes through, every year wheat comes out of the ground. Over 2,000-year-old seed was planted there, but every year it grows wheat, and then that seed goes into the ground, and wheat, and that seed goes into the ground. They haven't had tomatoes come up yet. Why? Because you reap what you sow. Yeah, but that was so long ago, but it was a decision that we made. You will reap what you sow. You know, the wheat doesn't forget what it is. You don't put a seed in the ground and I wonder what I was planted as. No, it's wheat. It's going to come up in that way. One day a visitor was in the penitentiary and he passed a cell where a man was patching his prison outfit with a needle and thread. The visitor, of course, trying to spark a conversation with this inmate there, he said this. He said, "What are you doing there? Sowing?" The inmate said, "No, I'm still reaping. Think about it. I'm still here because of a decision that I made." You know, there are things in life that we've done in the past that we're not proud of. Everyone has a past. Everyone has done wrong. Everyone is reaping today because of some bad decisions that they made. And there are things in the past that we can't help. But Lord help us if we think we have to continue living under the weight of that sin there. No, we can start planting good seed today. You can. You don't have to keep living in the past. You can keep going for the Lord today. There's a surety in reaping. The devil will hold some things over our heads many times, and he'll say, "Well, look at the way that you acted here, and look at the sin that you committed here, and look at all of these people that you hurt, and look at all of these ones that saw exactly what you did, and you'll never be able to do anything for God." We were talking about the enemy today in the teen class. And there was a statement that was made in the lesson that we're going through, and it said this: when Satan reminds you of his past, or of your past, remind him of his future. He's defeated already, but we don't have to live that way. Don't focus on the things of the past. Yes, there's going to be pain, and yes, there's going to be things that we have to deal with. Yes, there's going to be some repercussions from sins that we committed back then, but that doesn't have to shape how we live today. Use it as a testimony to others rather than allowing it to keep us from telling others about Christ. Use it to push us forward and say, "I'm going to tell people about Christ because I don't want them to make the same mistakes that I made." Live the victorious Christian life. There's a surety in reaping. Satan's going to say, "Well, you'll always reap what you sowed back then." You know, that may be true, but I'm sowing good seed now so that I can always reap from that good seed as well. Keep going for God. Live for the Lord today. So first of all, the surety in reaping. Notice, second of all, the surety in reaping from good seed. Galatians chapter 6 and verse 8. Notice it says, "For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting." You know, I like the sound of reaping life everlasting a whole lot better than I like the sound of reaping corruption. Sounds a lot better, amen? If you've trusted Christ, understand you're going to reap life everlasting. This is reaping from that good seed. If you sow good things, you will reap good things. Well, what are some good things that we can sow? Well, look at Galatians chapter 5 and look at verse 22 through verse 26. We're going to see the fruit of the Spirit here. If you live in the Spirit, if you sow in the Spirit, if you do the things the Bible tells you to do, if you live the way a Christian's supposed to live, This is some fruit that's going to happen. And these are some things that that we're going to be sowing as well. Look at verse 22 of Galatians chapter 5. But the fruit of the Spirit is love. Well, that doesn't sound like corruption, does it? What about this? Joy and peace and long-suffering and gentleness and goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lust. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another. Notice, we can live in the Spirit. We can trust Christ as our personal Savior. We've got the Spirit living within us. We can be a Christian and on our way to heaven, yet not walking in the Spirit. That walking is every day of our life. How are you walking today? Well, I think I'm a pretty good person. Well, there's a lot of good people that aren't walking in the Spirit, that aren't living the way you're supposed to live. But there is a surety in reaping from good seed. Notice what happened to the Philippian jailer when he got saved. He trusted Christ as his Savior, and it says that night his whole house was saved. They all trusted Christ. Why? Because he made the decision, I'm going to turn from my sin. I'm going to repent of my sin. Trust Christ as my personal Savior. His family heard about it. They trusted Christ. Why? Because he trusted Christ, because he was willing to sow good seed. He was willing to make a decision. And then when his family heard about that, they made the same decision. What happened when the Lord instructed Noah to build the ark? He did it. You know who was saved? Noah's family was saved. What would have happened if he would have said, it's never rained before? It's always just been this dew that's just came onto the ground and from the canopy up there. We've never seen rain. I'm just going to keep living for myself. I'm just going to keep doing the things that I've been doing. I'm just going to keep, if he was a carpenter or whatever it may be, I'm just going to keep working this way, just living my life. Then at the end of those years there, when the raindrops started, his family would have been killed in the flood as well, if he would have decided not to sow good seed. But he did what God told him to do, and his family was spared. What happened when Rahab helped the Israelites spies there? Her house was spared. The rest of the city was destroyed. The rest of the city was flattened there, but her house was spared. Why? Because she sowed good seed. What happened when the disciples obeyed the Lord and distributed the 5 loaves and the 2 fishes. The Lord multiplied it to feed the 5,000. What happened when Peter was told by the Lord to step out of the boat and walk on water? He was able to walk on the water while his eyes were on Christ, while he was walking after the Spirit, while he was focusing on what he was supposed to be focusing on. But when he turned away from Christ there, he began to sink. At one step, he's focusing on Christ and he's walking on water. But then he decided, I'm going to look around. When we as believers decide that we're going to look around, understand you're going to reap corruption. Well, it was just for a moment. You know what happens every moment we live? A seed is planted. Well, it was just for one weekend. It was just for one week. Well, I only did that because we were on vacation. Sowing seeds. You're sowing them. There's some good things that we can sow, though. When our eyes are on the world, it's impossible to sow good seed. So what are some good practical seeds that we can sow in our life? Well, of course, the best seed and the most important seed that you can sow is salvation. Trusting Christ as your personal Savior. It's the most important thing that you can do is getting your life right, trusting Christ as your personal Savior and allowing Him to give you a home in heaven. He's already paid the price for your sin. But once we're saved, we need to be reading and studying the Bible. The Bible says, study to show thyself approved unto God. That's sowing good seed. You know, those fiction and even nonfiction books that we read, they may not be necessarily sinful, but that's not sowing good seed in your life. The Bible is sowing good seed. Studying the Bible is sowing good seed. You know, as I was in school, there were an awful lot of books that I had to read and do book reports on and all of those sorts of things. I can remember when I was in kindergarten and first grade, of course, with the ACE program, you had A privilege and B privilege and C privilege. Each one you had to work for in a certain way. And I found out that if you do a book report, I was looking for gaps in the law, amen? I found out as a kindergartner that you can do a book report on the same book over and over and over, just turn it into a different teacher and you'll get a different privilege. I had it all figured out. So I did three different times, because there was only three different people there in the classroom, but three different times I did a book report on a book called The Camel That Took a Walk. I remember that book like it was yesterday. But you know, that book didn't sow any good seed in my life. It was just about a camel that was walking through the woods, getting hit with all kinds of stuff and making friends along the way. And I wrote a report and that was it. But every time I've studied the Word of God, there's been some seed that has been sown in my life. Every time we hear a message preached from the Word of God, there's seeds that are sown. Now, just because you hear the preaching doesn't mean it's a good seed that's sown in your life either. You have to put that seed to work in your life. This is what I'm going to do. This is how the Lord spoke to me. This is the way that I'm going to live, and plant that in your life. We need to be studying and reading the Bible. We need to be growing in His Word. When the Word comes in, then the Word can go out. What about prayer time? That's a good seed to sow. May do it in the morning, some in the evening, maybe on the commute to work, whatever it may be. But that's a great seed to sow. That is the believer's access to Almighty God. We can go before the throne of grace. The Bible says we can go there with boldness. The Bible also says the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Prayer is a good seed to sow. What's another good seed? Well, being faithful to church. That's a good seed. Our lives, understand, they should revolve around what's going on in the local church, because this is where the Lord uses us. This is where the Lord sends us out into the community. This is where the Lord has messages that are preached. This is where we can sing the great hymns of the faith, and we can get encouraged, and we can get our tracts, and we can go out ready to conquer this place for the Word of God. But that's sowing good seed. You know what's not sowing good seed is when we are more worried about the things that we have going on. Well, I know that I should be in church, but preacher, I'm just too tired. Well, we're all tired. But what seed do we want to sow? Do we want to sit at home and sow bad seed? Or be in church where we're supposed to be and sow good seed? It's a decision that we have to make. You made the right decision this morning. Amen. Sowing good seed in your life. It's a great thing. But you cannot schedule church around your life and expect to reap good seed. If you're not faithful to church, understand your children will not be faithful to church. Our lives should be scheduled around the church. That's sowing good seed. Parents, it's up to us to sow good seed in our children's lives. It's up to us to make sure that God's word is hidden in their heart. It's up to us to make sure that they're in church, in Sunday school, hearing the word of God preached. We must make sure that they are in the house of God. They're out in this world Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. The least we can do is have them under the preaching of God's word when the doors are open. That's sowing good seed in our children's lives. All week, out in this world, our children are bombarded with things. No matter how much we try to protect them, Satan's after them. Have them under the preaching of God's word. You may say, well, preacher, if I don't ensure that they are being schooled, then the government would say that I'm neglecting them, and they would try to take my children from me, and we just can't come on Sunday nights because we've got school the next day. We just can't come on Wednesday nights because, well, they've got school the next day, and they're going to be tired. I can guarantee you we are out of church and you're home before their bedtime each night. I can guarantee you that. There are not many parents who have children who are asleep before 8:30. Normally on Sunday nights, we're out about 7:15. Home, bowl of ice cream, in bed, 8 o'clock. Kids can be, amen. Don't forget the ice cream either. You got to have that. That'll really keep them up. Amen. But we need to ensure that these things are important in our lives. Many times we allow our business and our tiredness and our schedule to keep us out of church. And meanwhile, we're keeping ourselves and our children from learning the word of God, and they're being indoctrinated by this world system. Understand, you will reap what you sow. I praise the Lord that a little over a week ago, Landon trusted Christ as a Savior. It's a wonderful thing. I was just rejoicing, been praying for that for a long time. And now Sterling, Landon, and Declan, they've all trusted Christ as their Savior. Can I help you here this morning? As a 7-year-old boy, I trusted Christ as my Savior, and I'm reaping what I sowed. That's not here to pat myself on the back, but it's living proof that God's word is true. I wish I had the amount of scripture memorized today that my boys have memorized, but it came from work, having them in church and having them grow up under the teaching and preaching of God's word. Many times we're just too busy. Be faithful to the house of God. You will reap what you sow. There is surety in reaping the good seed. And then notice thirdly this morning, the surety in reaping from the evil seed, the fleshly seed, this corrupted seed. Galatians chapter 6 in verse 8, the beginning of the verse. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. That's just as much a promise as the second half of that verse. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. Look at verse 9. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. It's going to happen. We're going to reap. There are countless times through the Bible you're going to find that different people, they were reaping exactly what they had sown earlier in life, sometimes years and even decades earlier. But they're reaping that at another time. In Genesis chapter 27 and all the way through verse 29, you read of a very familiar story of Jacob and Esau. And Esau, of course, was the firstborn. He was the rightful recipient of the birthright. He was the one that when his father Israel he died, Esau was supposed to get all of these things and the birthright and everything that was included there. He was the rightful recipient of that birthright, but Jacob deceived his father. He received the birthright instead, and it seemed like all was going well. It seemed like nothing was going to happen. Even his mother was in on this plot to steal the birthright there, and everything is going well. And then Jacob ended up running away and living with Laban, and he fell in love with Rachel, which was Laban's youngest daughter, and he worked for 7 years to be able to marry this girl. 7 years. He wanted to marry Rachel. The wedding was set. The day came. And when Jacob lifted the veil, if you will, it wasn't her. He had been deceived. It was the older sister. Sometimes we'll look at that story and be like, well, how in the world could Laban do that? No. Jacob was reaping exactly what he sowed. He deceived years prior. Now he's being deceived. it was coming full circle. Jacob was reaping exactly what he had sown. He deceived his father. Now, he's the one being deceived. And as the old saying goes, the chickens will always come home to roost. Always. In 1 Kings chapter 21, we find the story of Ahab and Jezebel. And they had a plot to take this vineyard. This vineyard was owned by a man named Naboth, and Ahab and Jezebel, being the king and the queen there, they could have anything that they wanted, and they had no doubt beautiful land and beautiful vineyards and all of that. But they looked out there and they saw Naboth's vineyard, and they said, "I want to have that." They're looking at the vineyard. They coveted that. Since Ahab was the king, he could take anything that he wanted, no questions asked. So what did they do? They had Naboth killed. They said, "We want this vineyard, and so we're going to take it." So they killed him, and they would look at what they owned, and no doubt they thought that they had gotten away with it. But though man couldn't do anything about it, and it seemed as though they were untouchable, there was a God in heaven who knew exactly what they had done. But they're in power. "Oh, I can do anything that I want." But they had just sown evil seed. They had sowed to the flesh. "Well, I want that, so that's what I'm going to get." That's fine, but you're going to reap corruption. Just understand that. That's what the Bible says. God in heaven knew exactly what they had done, and we read of the response to their sin. Look at 1 Kings chapter 21, if you will. 1 Kings chapter 21. So all of this had gone on. They had Naboth killed, and they owned the vineyard now. And in 1 Kings chapter 21... starting in verse 17. 1 Kings 21, starting in verse 17. We see God's response here, speaking to Ahab. The Bible says this in 1 Kings 21, 17. "And the word of the Lord came unto Elijah the Tishbite, saying, 'Arise, go down to meet Ahab, king of Israel, which is in Samaria. Behold, he is in the vineyard of Naboth, whither he is gone down to possess it. And thou shalt speak unto him, saying, Thus saith the Lord, hast thou killed and also taken possession? And thou shalt speak unto him, saying, Thus saith the Lord, in the place where the dogs licked the blood of Naboth, shall dogs lick thy blood, even thine. And Ahab said to Elijah, Hast thou found me, O mine enemy? He answered, I have found thee, because thou hast sold thyself to work evil in the sight of the Lord. Behold, I will bring evil upon thee, and will take away thy posterity, and will cut off from Ahab him that pisseth against the wall, and him that is shut up and left in Israel, and will make thine house like the house of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, and like the house of Baasha, the son of Ahijah, for the provocation wherewith thou hast provoked me to anger and made Israel to sin. And of Jezebel also spake the Lord, saying, The dog shall eat Jezebel by the wall of Jezreel. Him that dieth of Ahab in the city, the dog shall eat. And him that dieth in the field shall the fowls of the air eat. But there was none like unto Ahab, which did sell himself to work wickedness in the sight of the Lord, whom Jezebel his wife stirred up. And he did very abominably in following idols, according to all the things as did the Amorites, whom the Lord cast out before the children of Israel. And it came to pass, when Ahab heard those words, that he rent his clothes. He put sackcloth upon his flesh, and fasted, and lay in sackcloth, and went softly. And the word of the Lord came to Elijah the Tishbite, saying, See as thou how Ahab humbleth himself before me, because he humbled himself before me, I will not bring evil in his days, but in his son's days will I bring evil, will I bring the evil upon his house." So then what we're going to see is we're going to find that this battle happened all throughout this next chapter there. And then we find in 1 Kings chapter 22, we find the prophecy, if you will, being fulfilled. Remember, God told Elijah, he said, go to Ahab and I want you to tell him that because he did these things, exactly where he killed Naboth is where the dogs are going to lick his own blood. What you're going to find is in chapter 22, there was a battle that was going on, and Ahab, he switched clothes with one of his generals, if you will, one of the men there in the army, so that they wouldn't know who he was. Look at 1 Kings 22 and verse 29 through 35. This is the end of the story, if you will, verse 29 through 35. So the king of Israel and Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, went up to Ramoth Gilead. And the king of Israel said unto Jehoshaphat, I will disguise myself and enter into the battle, but put thou on thy robes. And the king of Israel disguised himself and went into the battle. So you see what's happening here? He's disguised himself. He's not dressed as the king. And he's going into the battle here. He's guilty of doing exactly what we do many times. Well, I can hide my sin. No one will ever know. I can do enough to not have to reap the repercussions of my sin. Look at verse 31. But the king of Syria commanded his 30 and two captains that had rule over his chariot, saying, fight neither with small nor great, save only with the king of Israel. And it came to pass when the captains of the chariot saw Jehoshaphat that they said, surely it is the king of Israel. And they turned aside to fight against him. And Jehoshaphat called out cried out. And it came to pass when the captains of the chariot perceived that it was not the king of Israel, then they turned back from pursuing him. And a certain man drew a bow at a venture and smote the king of Israel between the joints of the harness. Wherefore he said unto the driver of his chariot, turn thine hand and carry me out of the host, for I am wounded. And the battle increased that day, and the king was stayed in his chariot against the Syrians and died at even, and the blood ran out of the womb even into the midst of the chariot. You know what we find all through the Old Testament and in the New Testament? They were reaping what they were sowing. You deceive somebody, you'll be deceived. They killed someone, he was killed. But he had power. He could escape anyone. He can't escape God's wrath. You can't escape the truth of God's word. It doesn't matter how much you try to hide. It doesn't matter what you try to disguise. Understand, we will reap what we sow. There are many examples of reaping from evil seed that was planted, and we could spend all day talking about that. But what I want us to understand this morning is that when we sin against God, it will be found out, and we will reap what we sow. Understand, young people here today, when you hide things from your parents, when you're saying things that you shouldn't say, when you're filling your ears with ungodly music and you're seeing ungodly and perverted things on the cell phone and talking about your parents in a negative way to your so-called friends, understand, you may be putting on a show when you're in church, but if you're living a double life, you will reap what you sow. And understand, God knows those things. But that's true for all of us. It's not just for the young people. Well, they shouldn't be doing that. No, God sees the sin in all of our lives. God help us if we think, well, I've been saved long enough that I can handle this. You can't handle sin. Your sin will find you out. There's a holy God, and he sees everything that we do. And what we have found is that over and over and over again, God himself revealed the sin. It may have been done in secret. It may have been done in a place where no one else even knows what's there. You may be able to delete the history on that device, but understand, God sees exactly what's happening, and it's never deleted from God's memory. It's there. Well, my parents don't know, so I'm getting away. I may be getting away from this, but there's someday you're going to stand before the Lord and your sins are going to be proclaimed before him. You will reap what you sow. You may be able to get away with it here on earth, but there's a God in heaven who knows every thought in our mind. He knows it. You'll reap what you sow. You may feel as though you're doing a good job hiding it, but I believe the Lord is dealing with some hearts and lives today. I believe the Lord is giving us the chance this morning to make some things right, to confess some sins unto Him. And in 1 John 1:9, it says that if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You may have some things that are hidden. You may have some things that you think that nobody knows. Understand, God knows those things, but He loves you so much. He's given you the opportunity to confess those sins unto Him today. It's not going to some preacher or to some pope or to some priest or something like that to confess those sins unto Him. No, it's confessing unto Almighty God, because He knows those things. He already knows it. He says He's faithful and He's just to forgive us those things and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. But you must confess it unto Him. Do not keep putting it off. Do not keep hiding things. Do not keep thinking that you have it under control. God knows exactly what you're doing. He knows exactly what you're thinking. Married people here today, you may think you're doing a good job hiding some things from your spouse, whether it be an adulterous relationship or pornography or text messages or financial transactions, whatever it may be. You may have it hidden from your spouse. You may have it hidden from your family, but it's not hidden from Almighty God. Confess it unto Him before He makes it known publicly, because He will. He'll call it out. And when He calls it out, you'll be in a place of shame. You know what's happened, what I believe has been the demise in most believers' lives? Many times we're not ashamed of our sin. We're ashamed that we got caught. It's not because we did something wrong. It's not because we sinned against Almighty God. It's not because we went against the truths in God's word. It's because someone had the audacity to call us out on it. God already knows these things. But we get mad at everybody else when we're reaping the seed that we put in the ground. We're mad at everybody else that because we planted that, we're now seeing the repercussions of that. Well, I just can't believe that the preacher was preaching on that today. Understand, God knows these things. I'm not all-knowing, but God is. You will reap what you sow. There are people in this room this morning who are on their way to hell. They've never trusted Christ as their Savior. They've been taught the Word of God. They've been taught exactly what the Lord Jesus Christ did for them, the gospel of Jesus Christ, that He shed His blood for them. And many times we convince ourselves, I just don't know what people are going to think, and I just don't know what this person's going to do, and I don't know if these people they already think that I'm saved. So if I get saved now, then they're going to be wondering if it's real. Don't worry what other people think. Trust Christ as your personal Savior. Understand, if you reject Christ either the Lord comes back or you're taken from this life, understand you will reap what you sow, but it's going to be in hellfire for all eternity. Rejecting Christ is sowing corruption in your life. Trust Him today. You may think that you have everyone around you fooled. You may have even fooled yourself in some way, but if you've never trusted Christ as your Savior, you're on your way to hell this morning. Why? Because you will reap what you sow, because the Lord gave you a way of escape. He gave His life for you. He shed His blood for you, but you've rejected that. Don't worry about what other people think. You're not answering for them. You're answering for you. Some refuse to get saved because of what mom or dad or aunt or uncle or grandma or grandpa may think, because of what they've done in their past or because of what they've been taught. Maybe they thought they could work their way to heaven. But understand, you know what the Bible says. And if you're allowing those other things to keep you from getting saved, you are rejecting the Word of God, and that's sowing corruption in your life. Some people say, well, I have it all worked out. Well, My Bible says that God is not mocked. God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Don't reject the Lord when he is calling. Something for all of us that we need to understand today is this. God is not required to call us again. He's not. I praise the Lord that he was faithful. And over, I had the opportunity to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. But he's not required to give us another chance. He's not required to just keep pushing it down the road until we get saved. Some people say, well, I'll get saved later. What if later never comes? Today is the day of salvation. Trust Christ today, so that good seed. There are millions of people today in hell because they rejected Christ. They are reaping what they sowed. They sowed that evil seed. They paid the price for it. And can I help us here today? It's not an easy thing to think about. It's not something that brings joy to our minds. But those ones that are burning in hell today, understand they're reaping what they sowed, and they will reap that for the rest of eternity. No way of escape. Constantly being in hellfire, constantly being in darkness, constantly being in a place that is weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. And every one of them, if they had the chance to stand before you today, they would say, don't come here. Don't sow that seed in your life. Trust Christ. The rich man and Lazarus, as we read about in the Bible, Lazarus went to heaven. The rich man went to hell. You know where they are today? Lazarus is still in heaven. The rich man is still in hell. He's still there. Once you're there, you're always there. The Bible says that it is a place of darkness, and then it uses this word, forever. It's not a place of purgatory. It's not a place where you can be prayed out. Once you're there, you will always be in the midst of that weeping and that wailing and that gnashing of teeth. And if you reject Christ today, understand you have no one to blame but yourself. Because I will reap what I sow. If I sow good things, I'm going to reap good things. Why? Because the Bible says so. But if I sow evil things, if I sow to the flesh, I'm going to reap corruption. Why? Because that same Bible is true there as well. I will reap what I sow. Heads bowed, eyes